Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
God has placed treasure in earthen vessels. What are these vessels and how do you access that treasure within? Find out today on the Believer's Voice of Victory and learn how you can overcome any obstacle in life. Now here's Gloria.
Hello everybody, welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Kelly Copeland's back with us today and she's got a good word. You do not want to miss it.
Thank you, Mother.
Are you ready?
I am ready.
Tell us what you're talking to us about.
Well, we were here all last week talking about unlocking the treasure within.
I like that.
I know. And we talked all week about the things that became, we didn't phrase it this way, but really I thought about later, there's things that are doorways that shut the door. God put a treasure in us. But what keeps us from experiencing it in a really practical way? So we talked about pride and we talked about shame and the attacks of the enemy and the tricks. He's tricky.
He's a liar.
But
He's
you know,
a deceiver.
I was thinking about this one day. I was thinking about narcissism, which is not mentioned very often, but Satan is the original narcissist. He is so lifted up in his own self and his pride and his operation is like, he's really a narcissist. That's what caused him his problem in the first place. He was thinking about himself. But anyway, you know, with somebody like that, their behaviors are so patterned that once you understand the behaviors, you know, outmaneuvering them or coming out on the other side, not a victim, but a winner, it's easy because they're so patterned. Yeah, they don't get away from those behaviors. So I was thinking about Satan, the narcissist. He's so patterned. Once you catch him in his tricks, once you catch him how he's trying to defeat you and you understand it, or God points out something in your life. Yesterday, I think something good came out. It was like, we're not going to give the devil a foothold so he can't have a stronghold.
That's right.
But once you take away his foothold, he's defeated. Jesus defeated him, so he can only trick you into thinking that he can beat you.
He has a terrible reputation.
He is.
He's the liar of all liars.
And he's a loser.
And a loser.
He's a loser.
He
is a loser. So it's when you don't know about the fact that he's been beaten, and you don't know about made aware of what's on the inside of you, you can feel like the loser in life. But we just were here last week and going to continue this week about, because what Jesus bought and paid for us is a life of glory.
Yes,
the treasure on the inside of us is His glorious presence, which we're going to see this week what that means to us, what His presence means to us, how to unlock His presence on the inside of you to where it comes out.
That's what he said, I have come that they might have life, not just life, and have it more abundantly.
More abundantly.
Isn't that good?
Yes. And all the things He brings with us in the Holy Spirit.
Praise God.
You are the queen of teaching the fruit of the Spirit.
Praise
but
God.
All of the fruit of the Spirit are things that we need to live life. Yeah. We need to have the fruit of the Spirit to be able to have good relationships. We need to have the fruit of the Spirit to be able to take
love,
the Word
joy,
and exercise
peace,
it in
patience,
our lives.
Goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
And we
what
have
could
it.
He do about that? What could the devil do
that's
with that?
Right. Against such there is no law. There's no
right.
form that can take precedence
that's
over
right.
those things if you walk in them.
Yeah.
So it's really Satan's tricks have made it seem complicated. So we're just taking the wrappers off of him.
That'll be good.
And last week took the wrappers off of shame, took the mystery out of pride. Those things like to hide, and when they hide, you'll just keep operating in them and not knowing it. So he's not going to be able to trick us anymore.
That's right.
Amen? We are wise to his devices and his ploys. So that's what we were in last week. And this week, we kind of just got on a flow last week. And I really believed last week that the Lord didn't want to rush. So we just took our time. So this week, we're going to see where we get to. I think, you know, there's so much in the Word about this, you could literally go for weeks and weeks. But we'll just go as far as we get. We won't rush it. Amen?
Okay. We're with you.
So I think at the end of last week, and go back and watch it at kcm.org if you didn't get to see last week. Also, we have study notes that you can download at kcm.org. So make all that available to yourself. Watch it on your phone. Watch it. Listen to it.
That'd be a good subject to teach your children, wouldn't
it? Yes. Because what happens with shame is it enters into children. That's what I didn't realize until recently. It enters into children. Satan will trick children.
Well, but they hear shame on you.
Shame on you.
All their young life.
And Satan will trick children into receiving shame, and you don't even know it. Or some type of shame over something that wasn't even real. You know, I've told on the broadcast before, and I won't go into it, but long story short, the Lord showed me that I had abandonment issue. I'm like, what? I've never been abandoned. I had great parents, you know, loving father, wonderful childhood. And I wouldn't have known. I don't even think any counselor could have pointed these things out to me, other than by the Holy Spirit. But
Your mother wasn't so bad either.
My mother...
You said you had a wonderful father, but you never mentioned your mother.
Well, mother, everybody knows that you're a wonderful mother. I just didn't even bear mentioning you're so wonderful. It is true, though. You were such a good example to me. And you're such a good example of just a quiet temperament and the fruit of the Spirit.
Praise God. Now, that's more like it. I like that.
It's true, though. And Dad, he was a good example and was right there with me. You know, a lot of times people have abandonment issue with their mother or their dad, but mine was with Dad. So that's why I mentioned him in particular. But God had to show me, and it was not even a real thing. It was from a car wreck. You may have heard him talk about when I was almost three, we were in a car wreck, and he put us in the car and then walked back,
after the wreck.
He said, back to the wreck because he couldn't leave the scene of the accident. But I was in shock, and God showed me that that issue of abandonment and all the behaviors that come with it had entered into me at 2.5, 3 years old. What was a lie? He didn't abandon me. He just walked away for a moment. But to a 2.5-year-old, that was the message that went into my soul. And I was like, that is just not okay. But once I realized it, took the wrapper off of it, it unlocked my heart, and it unlocked some things with the presence of God. And it was just gone, the behaviors that were keeping me even from being free in the presence of God were just gone. So I encourage you today to just get before the Lord for some surgical work. He does a great surgery, and the only blood involved is his. So he's so good. So let's go back to 2 Corinthians, where we left off last week. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Briefly, I'll catch you up where we were in this chapter. God said in verse 5, you see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we ourselves are servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, let there be light in the darkness, has made this light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. He wants us to know intimately the glory of God, that when people looked upon Jesus, they saw it. The glory of God. He wants us to be aware, not of it just in Jesus' face, but aware of it on the inside of us, aware that that is the light, that is what is inside of us, that's the life of God inside of us. And he calls it in verse 7, a treasure. And he says, we now have this light shining in our hearts, the glory. And the light, the Spirit that went into Adam and Eve, or to Adam when God made him from the dust of the earth and from the waters of the springs of the earth, he made a clay pot. When he first started with man, he started with a clay pot, a dead thing. And then he breathed his life into it, and man became a speaking spirit, a living being filled with the life of God, filled with the DNA of God.
God himself filled him.
Right. I mean, I sometimes I think this thought occurs, we live way below the line. You know, people talk about the poverty line. As far as what God has put on the inside of us, the treasure that's in us, we live way below. Some of us farther than others, but even the best of us have been living below. When I say the best of us, I don't mean we're the best or you're the best. I mean, in the most mature in the things of God, we're still living below the line where he put Jesus on the inside of us. He put the light of heaven, the kingdom of heaven, his Spirit himself. So it comes with all of his glory. But when we focus, this says we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. Well, really, if you look back at Genesis 2, you can go read it and listen last week to what we were saying about it. We really are a fragile clay jar in our body, but it's what's inside of us that makes us strong. It's what's inside of us that is the treasure. It's what's inside of us that makes us perfect. You know, we're not asked to be perfect in our body, perfect in our lives, perfect in our behaviors. We're not asked that because those things in and of themselves, our mind, our will, and our emotions, and our physical life, and our life with our family and work and relationships, our social life, those things are all growing along with the renewing of our mind. But it's the Jesus on the inside of us who's perfect. But when we focus on ourselves, it gets to feeling like we're required to be perfect, and that can become the struggle. But it's not. Jesus said, your only work, he said in John 6, your only struggle, your only labor, this is your job, people of mine, he says, believe in the one he has sent. So believe in the sent one on the inside of us. He was sent to us. When you received him, you got it all. So you have to look at that. So that's what we were coming to in 2 Corinthians 4. So it says, this makes it clear that our great power is from God, not ourselves. Don't ever confuse those two, because if you do, you'll start relying on yourself, and yourself will fail you if that's what you're relying on. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we're not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we're not destroyed. Mom, I said last week,
you can tell we have challenges by those things.
We do. And you know,
but we have victory.
I think you can tell.
You know, what does Scripture say? This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Glory to God.
So we shouldn't feel shame when we have struggles.
That's right.
But it's easy.
But we should get victory over those
struggles. Get victory. But if you have shame over the struggle, you won't walk in victory.
Yeah, that's right.
Because if you allow the devil to shame you that some things have happened, you won't focus and look at the treasure on the inside of you to come through it. Because it's a treasure again. The treasure, the Spirit of God, the life of God in us, the glory of God in us, heaven on the inside of us, that makes us strong, that makes us not crushed, that makes us not driven to despair, that makes us not we're not abandoned by God, that makes us in a place where we're not destroyed by what the things that happen. So, but I laugh because from this side of my life and where God has brought me now, I can look back on my life and see I never really received this scripture. Like, I wouldn't confess it because I don't want to be pressed and I don't want to be perplexed and it's not okay to be hunted down. But in feeling like somehow I shouldn't be hunted down or I shouldn't be perplexed or pressed, it felt like a failure on the inside when something happened. Hmm. And it's just a satanic device of shame.
Sure.
So I just want to have you make a decision today that whatever's going on, and maybe you brought some of it on yourself, but it doesn't matter because of the grace of God. The reason we bring things on ourselves is because we don't know everything. And because we have to learn something. And because we have to develop in His Word to get stronger
It's the truth that makes you free, the Scripture says. So if you don't know the truth, you're not going to
be free. You can't be free. But it's a process.
This
is a process for your mind to be renewed, for your soul to be fed. Mm-hmm. It's a process of God to clean you out of the things that need to be removed. Because your spirit, immediately upon being born again, your spirit receives that strength, that special treasure, the life of God in you. You're renewed on the inside, day one, moment one, just like that. But we have to learn. We have to grow.
Grow up.
And we need to be aware of our need to grow. We need to be aware. Don't get bent out of shape when somebody points out to you something that you need to grow in. Don't be somebody that can't be corrected. You know, Hebrews 12 lets us know it's the normal function of a father to bring correction. And we've talked a lot about that on the broadcast. We need to allow our father to have that function and correct us.
Absolutely.
And not allow Satan to bring shame when that comes, but just receive it knowing
it's a blessing
to be corrected.
It is a
blessing to be corrected. It is a blessing to have something pointed out to me that I need
to
change.
You'll be going along this way and you get off a little bit and you need to be corrected. Well, the blessing's over here, but now you're going this way. But when we listen to the Lord and we do what He said, we repent, we make changes, we get back over here where the blessing is.
That's right.
That's where I want to be.
It's so simple.
Yeah.
We see it with our kids, you know. We're like, why are you making a big deal out of this? I just said, don't talk like that to me. Talk like this.
Yeah.
And then a 20-second correction can turn into an hour and a half long episode of crying and, you know, hurt feelings and whatever. But we do that with God. That's what happened in the wilderness, I think. You know, just this moment of correction when He brought them into the mountain, and He's like, just needs to clean up a few things from their time in Egypt.
Disobedience just doesn't work.
And they ran from it.
Work well. It doesn't work well for you. It doesn't make good things happen.
But it's shame that will keep you from embracing what God is saying to us, what the Word says to us, what the pastor says to you on Sunday when he's teaching you from the Word. The Word of God, it says to us that it is good for correction. It shows us what's wrong with our lives, but we have to embrace it. So you see how Satan has played around with this. But when we get this in our hearts, that what's on the inside of me is so far outweighs everything that's going on out here, anything going on in the side, and we have a Father. We're not abandoned, He says. We are never abandoned. But you won't know that if you don't go in here. You won't know a lack of despair unless you go inside where His Spirit is. So let's move on through this.
Well, let me just say this. You can't have fellowship with God without obedience.
No.
I mean, that's just... And how do you get obedience? By doing what the Word says. That's obedience.
So when you get in the Word and you see things where you're missing it, if you'll make that change, sometimes it's just a little change that's stealing the blessing out of your life. Little change, little words that you say, maybe unlovely words to people or whatever it is. But we make those changes, and there's the blessing. It's right waiting on us. The blessing, good. Blessing is everything good. Hallelujah. So how do we get to that point? We have to find out from the Word of God what pleases God and what it takes to walk in obedience to what He says. And there's the blessing.
That's so good, Mom, because those are the very things that keep us out of His presence.
Yeah.
Because how can you be in His presence if you're running from His correction, if you're running from His Word,
He's
if you're running
Father.
From change? He wants you in His presence. He wanted the children of Israel in His presence.
He told
He's
them
like,
exactly what
me.
To do to stay there.
And they ran. The first words out of His mouth, they ran away from it. From the, you know, it came out. I can imagine talking to God Himself and His presence on the mountain would rumble. But they ran from that correction, and they told Moses, you go talk to Him.
Yeah,
we don't want to talk to Him. So I think it's
think
a good
that.
Illustration.
That's awful, isn't it?
It is.
We
what
don't
a terrible
talk to
thing.
The Father.
And you know, He expresses
That's
His
awful.
Heart. It's expressed again in the New Testament. He said, come out. When He says, come out from among them and be separate, He's not saying, you know, don't be over there like where you're with all the things that are unholy. That's not what He's saying. He's like, come, children. I want to be your Father. I want to walk in you. I want to live in you. I want to have my being in you. And that's what He's saying here. This is who we have on the inside. He is calling. The Father is calling your name. Jesus is calling your name. The Holy Spirit
Fellowship
is expressing
with
the Father, expressing the love of the Savior and the delivering freedom of the Savior to you right now. But you're going to have to look at Him. You're going to have to turn to Him, turn your back on pride and shame and focusing on how bad you are, how bad life is, and turn it to the One who has the answers for you. There's so much more in here. I please don't abandon this thought today. Come join us again tomorrow, because it gets so good when you start digging into what's on the inside of us.
Praise God. It pays to find out what God says. And this is He talks to you in your spirit too, but this confirms what His will is, and you don't have any doubt about it. If it says you're blessed, you're blessed. If it says do this and you'll be blessed, do this and you get blessed. Hallelujah. Kelly and I'll be right back.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And remember, Jesus is Lord.